Hey everybody, I'm Sam and this is NTVerso, and today's video is probably one of the most important videos that I have shared ever, and it is about why is investing so important, why all of us should invest. What if you started right now with $0, you get your 9.7% annual rate because you invest into the S&P 500 and you save $500 per month for 30 years. And the numbers that we get are actually really, really interesting. Into the first 10 years, starting from zero and investing into the S&P 500, you have $100,000. In 20 years, you have $368. And into 30 years, you have over $1 million saved. So why is investing and having equity so important? Because of the alternatives are really bad, right? What are the main two alternatives? Cash and holding your money into a savings account, into a bank. So first I want to discuss cash and why holding cash is actually quite bad. Because cash by design is inflationary object. Cash is made so that there is inflation. And then there is amazing video by the amazing Ray Dalio that explains how economy works in about 30 minutes. It's very easy to understand. It's brilliant. I'll put a link into the description of this video and you can go watch it and understand how economy works. So, you know, in order for economy to grow, you need inflation. And when the inflation is controlled, it's actually very good. And I'm going to read a bit about that. What's behind inflation? That's on Investopedia. Inflation comes about as demand for goods and services grows in an economy. As the money supply in the economy rises, there is likely to be more demand from customers looking to buy various goods. The rising demand creates a pressure on prices and they rise, as more people are willing to pay for these goods. Sellers hike up their prices. Another situation that could lead to inflation is when there is an increase in the cost of production. So overall, growing economy, having more money means that there is inflation. But let's look at the effect of inflation. Let's say you have $100 into a savings account that pays a 1% interest rate. After a year, you'll have $101 into your account. During this period, if inflation runs 2%, you would have to have $102 to make up the impact of the higher prices. Since you have $101, that means that you have actually lost 1% of your purchasing power, which means that if you hold cash, you are vulnerable to inflation. If you hold cash over time, even though that the number of how much money you have doesn't change, your actual buying power decreases. Over time, you lose your buying power. Another thing that's very important about cash is that you are subjected to swings into the price compared to other currencies, because when you have cash, you probably have mainly into one currency. Let's look at the pound against the dollar. Into a period of 4 years, the pound has lost over 24, even over 25% of its value, which means that people that had 1,000 pounds, you know, back in 2014, now, even though they still have these 1,000 pounds, their buying power against the dollar is 25% lower. In the same time, remember that inflation is also compounding at around 1-2% per year, which means that these 1,000 pounds, if they want to buy something from America, now can buy them probably somewhere around 35-40% less than what they could buy just 4 years ago. So these people lost more than 30% of their buying power in a short span of 4 years. Now there's a lot of news about the Turkish lira, right? That's, you know, being falling. In 5 years, the Turkish lira has lost 68% of its value compared to the US dollar. In a single month, the Turkish lira had lost over 28% of its value against the US dollar. And we know that the US is the strongest economy in the world. We know we are in a globalized world. So, you know, there are imports from a lot of different countries. So buying a car or buying anything that's manufactured, even parts of it into a different country, puts you at a vulnerable position of swings of currencies. So in short, if you're holding cash over time, you are losing buying power because of inflation, and compounded with that, you lose power because it's very probable that your currency might lose value against other currencies. What about savings accounts, right? This is the second option, which a lot of people go about. And, you know, this was my mindset. And the problem with that and why this video is so important is because if you don't have someone that's, you know, doing finance or business or entrepreneur into your family and around you, it's very hard to get out of this mindset. I didn't know anything about net worth, about shares, about equity, you know, how inflation affects you and, you know, how you can make use of that and turn your money to work for you instead of you losing your buying power. The second thing that gets so many people is savings accounts. And we know that banks, these are some of the highest rates of savings account. We see that they're around 1.8% per year. But if we look at the actual inflation per year, we can see that in US it is between 2 to 2.8% in the last 2-3 years, which means that if you hold your money into a savings account, you still lose buying power because of inflation. The second thing is you're still subjected to swings into currencies. And the third thing is most banks will not let you actually withdraw money or, you know, handle your money, which means that you don't even have access, you know, to your own funds. Let's talk about why investing is so good. So this is a chart of the S&P 500 index, which basically tracks the 500 biggest companies in US, which are basically some of the biggest companies in the world overall, which means that it is a quite good indicator what the stock market overall is doing. So we can see here, I've opened the all-time chart of the S&P 500. And what we could observe is that at any period over 15 years, the stock market is higher than where it was before that. And into a very big percentage of the time, in every period of 5 to 10 years, the stock market is higher than it was. And, you know, we can follow that from 1950 to 2018. If you invest into the S&P 500, which means that it's super simple, right? You invest into an index. You don't have to choose companies. You don't need to understand companies. You just invest into the economy, right? Because this basically tracks the economy. If you invest into just the economy, into an index, let's see what happens. So if I opened here a kind of reverse compound calculator, and here I have calculated the interest rate that you would gain if you had invested in S&P 500 back in 1950 when it began. So I want to see how much on all the data that we have over time, how much is the interest rate. And we can see that back into 1950, basically the S&P started at around 16.9. And now in 2018, it is at 2,850. This is 68.6 years. And we are calculating the annual interest rate. And we can see that we get an annual appreciation of 7.76%, with inflation, we said, at around 2% at the moment, right? So, okay, but let's look at some more interesting stuff, okay? Let's look at if you're invested exactly at the best possible time, at the downturn into the 2008 crisis. If we look at this, back in 2008, the S&P was around 683, and now, as we said, it's at 2,850. And that's it into a time frame of 9.5 years. We can see that this is a gain of 16.3% per year, with a savings account giving you 1.8 and with cash giving you zero, right? So we can see the difference. And you would say, yes, but nobody can time the market, right? That's what you say all the time. Like, you know, nobody can invest at the best time. And I say, okay, let's look. What if you invest at the worst time? Okay, if you invested exactly at the top before the crisis and you never sold, stayed invested into the index. Let's see what happens, okay? The peak here before the crisis is around 1,550-60, and as we said, now we're at 2,850, and that's almost 11 years. What we get as a gain if you invested at the worst time in the last 10 years, you still get 5.7 compounded interest rate per year. 5.7, which means that you cover your inflation rate and you still get 3.7% gain of buying power per year. What is even better is that stocks have something called dividend yield, which means that stocks give you back money just to hold them. And on average, the S&P 500 companies, which is what you'll be invested in, have a dividend yield, as we see in the last 20 years, of around 2%. Overall, over time, it's been actually much higher, but let's take the last 2%, which means that on top of this 5.7% compound interest rate, when you put 2% up, you get 7.7, right? This is the worst time. If we take the 7.7%, which is on the all-time average interest rate, and you put 2%, that's 9.7% historically on average you would get as a gain if you invested just into basically the economy of United States. And here I have opened a very simple compound interest calculator. What if you started right now with $0? You get your 9.7% annual rate because you invest into the S&P 500, and you save $500 per month for 30 years. And the numbers that we get are actually really, really interesting. Into the first 10 years, starting from zero and investing into the S&P 500, you have $100,000. In 20 years, you have $368. And into 30 years, you have over $1 million saved. If you decide to save $500 per month for 30 years, but you do not invest them and hold them cash, that means that you have annual interest rate of zero, and you have to account for the inflation, which means that at the end you have $180,000, but the inflation would have eaten at least $63,000 from that money, which means that you have $120,000 buying power. In over 40 years, that will be even worse. Over 50 years, that will be even worse, which means that the younger you are, the more important for you is to start investing right now. Now, this is the S&P. Let's look at the Nasdaq, right? Nasdaq tracks basically technology companies, and it is perceived as a more risky investment. But again, into the long haul, it's always been up. As we see here, can take much longer. This decline we see here is the 2000s tech bubble burst. Stocks took 15 years to recover, but still, let's calculate some interesting stuff. If you invested here at the absolutely low after the 2008 crisis into the Nasdaq, you would have captured 20.8% annual gain. Let's see, even if you're so unlucky and you invested literally at the worst time in history into the Nasdaq, you invested at exactly the peak, the top of the 2000 tech bubble, what we get is over the 18 years you would still have got 2.4 annual gain, which is still better than a savings account and it's still better than the inflation, which means that you will still have increasing of your buying power. If we take the gains of the Nasdaq for all time, what we get from 40, almost 8 years of data is that on average the Nasdaq has yielded 9.5, almost 6% per year. Also, the Nasdaq has around 1.4% dividend yield, which would grant you around 11% annual gain. 11%, if you just invest into an index and you can forget about it and just put money in. So, you know, that's why investing is the biggest value creation. It's the only long-term reliable wealth creation. That's how all the rich people have money. That's how they become richer. As you can see, over time, the markets go up because there are more people, there's more commerce, there's more trade, economy is stronger. That's how the world works. That's why we are advancing. If you are not some kind of person that believes that the world is gonna crash and it will never recover and will go back in time and into civilization instead of forward, you should invest your money. $500 per month for 30 years into the S&P 500, on average, historically looking, will let you save $1 million. Hopefully over time your salary will grow, so instead of 500 you'll start putting 700,000 and so on, which means that into 30 years it is absolutely realistic, with stuff that's absolutely achievable by anyone. You can save millions thanks to compounding and investing. That's how all the rich people have money. That's how they become richer. And that's why over time the richer become richer, because they invest their money. They don't hold them cash. They don't spend them on stupid stuff that loses value. They invest them. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this video. Comment on anything you want to down into the comments. Thank you for listening. See you next time.